While we're waiting, you know, I say, this is a day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Give him a hand praise.
Thank you for that. And with that, let's ask God's presence that he might use me this morning. Heavenly Father, it's once more, Lord God, an opportunity to speak to your people, to open their hearts and their eyes and their ears, Lord God, to you, to hear what you would say to them. Therefore, Lord God, I ask that you would just hide me behind the cross. Speak with my mouth, Lord God. Speak to my mind, Lord God. Speak to my heart, that these words, Lord God, might hit their hearts, their minds, and their ears. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I'm going to use as the subject, when God speaks. When God speaks. And the scripture will be taken from 2 Kings chapter 6, 30 to 33, and 2 Kings 7, 1 and 2. And it reads, now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes, and as he passed by on the wall, the people looked. They understood that he had sackcloth on his body. Then he said, God do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remain on his body today. But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he was there, and while he was still talking with them, there was a messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a sheaf of fine flour should be sold for a shekel, and two sheaves of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer of whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, how could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eye, but you shall not eat of it. When God speaks. Now, the background for the scripture, to give you a little bit more of context of what's going on here. Samaria, which was that rebellious nation of the children of Israel, that had these wicked kings. You go through and read it. Remember a week or so ago I talked about King Ahab? Well, this is King Ahab's predecessor. And these kings were always doing wrong. I mean, they just wouldn't get it right. And in this instance, God was always punishing these children of Israel too. And in this instance, there was a famine. And you know, I wonder if we get the concept of famine today like it was then. You know, we think, like you say, people go in these stores and stocking up and everything because they get ready, things are getting ready to get kind of crazy. We think we ain't going to be able to get food. Back then, there wasn't no stores to go to. When it was a famine, that meant all food was gone. There was no food anywhere. Even the king didn't have any food. So this is how bad it is in that situation. In fact, it got so bad, if you read the chapters, the verses ahead of this chapter, it got so bad that they was eating human beings. We call that cannibalism, don't we? Can you imagine it getting so bad that they would eat a human being? And now this wasn't just any human. This was a baby, a newborn baby that had been born. These two women got together. They conspired. Said, well, you know, if one woman said, you know what? We can't nurse these babies. They going to die. So let's just kill. You kill yours today, and I'll kill mine tomorrow, and we're going to eat these children. Can you imagine? Mothers, grasp that. This is how serious the situation was, that they would be so hungry and so devoid of the Spirit of God that they would devour their children, a newborn baby. So they did the first day, and they cut the baby up, cooked it, ate. But this next day, that's where the problem comes down. This other woman said, no, I'm sorry. I ain't just killing my child. So she went ahead the baby, right? And the mother gets upset. The mother that killed her baby said, oh, no, that ain't right. So she went complaining to the king right here, about what had happened. And that's where we pick up on the scripture in verse 30, that the king hears about that, and he's outraged that this has happened, that they're getting so desperate that they're eating the child. And guess who he blames? Who do you think he blames? When the scripture, what does it say? He blames God and God's spokesman, Elisha. This is a situation that he blames on the man of God. He wants to go and get the man of God and pull his head because he figured it's Elisha who got the connection with God, who caused all this stuff, you know. Because you know, when you're a prophet, you have to speak righteousness. And one thing he spoke to you, y'all doing wrong and God's going to punish you. God's going to punish you for doing wrong. This is what this situation, this is a prophet, a righteous man of God that spoke against this king and said God's going to punish you, and the punishment is a famine. So the king said, well, if Elijah is the problem, I'm going to go get Elijah and hang him. I'm going to kill him. But the problem is, this prophet speaks for God. And since he speaks for God, God's already told Elisha what the king is going to do. So when Elijah, the prophet, already knows. So he tells his elders who with him, saying, this king give me, this guy, this unrighteous guy, give me, trying to kill me. He's trying to blame it on me. So what does Elijah do? He prophesies. Well, you know what? It's not going to happen. Tell that king, let's go to the scripture. I want to make sure I get it right. But Elijah sit in his house. Do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the master comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. It's not the sound of his master's feet behind him. All right. Again, Elijah knows what's going on. So he says, shut the door. Don't let him come in. Hold the door. Because the king is right behind him. He's right behind him and getting ready to kill me. And while he was there, the messenger came down and said, "The king says, surely this calamity is from the Lord. And why should I wait for the Lord?" He's blaming this calamity on the Lord. Did I tell you that's what's happening? So how many of us today, when we look at this coronavirus, look at it as being something from the Lord? What would you say this coronavirus is being caused by? What are we hearing news and other people saying this virus is being caused by? Oh, it's something that started in China and broke all out, and you see, it's just something that just happened, and we can't contain it. And in fact, we thought we could contain it by shutting the borders, don't let any people in, and all of a sudden, these outbreaks are still coming up in here, right? These outbreaks are still coming up here, and yet we have done what we thought we could do to stop it. And we ain't hearing what I think you should be hearing, that God is mad at us. Whenever God sends a calamity, look at the Old Testament. See, that's what's wrong with us today. We ain't really reading how God used to do work in the Old Testament. When he wanted to send judgment upon the nation, he would send a war, and they would get conquered. He sent pestilence. He sent famine. He's doing all these things because he wanted his people to get right. Nowadays, when those things happen, we're looking for anything but God. We don't hear anybody saying, "This is of God." What's wrong with us today? Are we afraid to speak up for God and tell people that God is through and had enough of what's been going on, and maybe this is of God? Because we can't deal with it. But those of us, like T.A. said, those of us who know, we're going to stop and pray. We're going to pray about the situation. He ain't worried. He said he ain't worried about this coronavirus and about going stocking up for food and doing what man says you do. But he's saying, "I'm trusting God." Just like he called me earlier today, this week, and said, "Should we still have church?" You know, they give this warning out, and should we still be? I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Yeah, well, I just want you to agree. Whether or not you're going to agree with me, because I think we should still have this. We got a small congregation, yeah, but we still need to meet. The word of God could be proclaimed to the people." But you see it, all these other churches, what's happening? All these big churches say, "Oh yeah, we're afraid, so we're going to let people stay at home and everything, because this is something that man say is bad, and we need to tell the people to stay away, but we ain't telling them to pray. Maybe they should be coming together and praying instead of being afraid and staying away and not praying." No, that's how we do it. We say no. No, man said do it this way, we're going to do it. But God said, "Where my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from, then I heal the land." That's what God's word says. This coronavirus, it's just like any other virus. We've had them come and go. And one of the bad things about it is, when God does speak, God's speaking through his spirit. How many of y'all have a discerning spirit and follow God's word, that you can hear him speak to you through the word? That spirit of God is in you. That spirit of God should be in you so that when God speaks, you can hear it. Because a lot of times, we don't hear God speaking in these situations because we ain't read the word. That's why many of us didn't know these plagues are from God, because we ain't read in the word. His spirit says, "I will chastise my people." And what is a plague? Chastisement. So, you know, we really have got to learn when God speaks to have a discerning ear so we can get it right and understand God, this is correction. This plague is correction. y'all don't understand that. Do y'all understand that this plague is a correction from God? We take it as, oh, this is just one of them things that just came up from any place, and they trying to figure out whether man make it up or. But to me, like it, all the prayers of the past, it's from God. And he wants to see it. And see, this where, again, God speaks to you. So this coronavirus is a circumstance. It's a circumstance. It's a trial, you might say, from God to see how we going to handle it. You know, that's the thing that we don't understand, that God's always putting trials in front of us, trials and tribulations. To me, this coronavirus ain't nothing but another trial. One of the things that we haven't thought about was this coronavirus got us running scared, right? And it caused me running scared. What are we? A lot of schools is closing. Everything's closing down. This country is coming to a halt. This is how kind of plague God does. He said, y'all love y'all money and consumerism, all this economic things. Y'all been, I'm going to bring it to a halt. I'm going to use this coronavirus to bring your country to a halt. I'm going to make the thing you love the most, your economy, your money, your dollars, those jobs, everything you love, I'm bringing it to a halt. I'm bringing oil down. I'm bringing situations where people going to get kicked out of houses. I'm getting ready to deal with y'all from the only thing y'all really understand. That's the almighty dollar. I know I got people on my jobs worried about getting laid off. And they're the people on the lower run. Just think. See, I got to think about this thing. And when they said that all of a sudden they're closing down all these places like Disneyland, and they're going to be closed down for 3 weeks, maybe a month longer. The thing I got to think about is, look how many people or losing their jobs, going to be without that dollar. And most of us are living from paycheck to paycheck, right? Some folks now got to go 4 weeks without a paycheck. Without their insurance. Ooh, look at all what's happening. And see, you look further on, a lot of people got to start working from home. And those people that suddenly, the schools are closed. Daycares is closed. Those workers ain't getting paid. Those folks that rely on schools so they can work, they nothing they got to deal with. This is a serious ongoing. And see, we haven't begun to understand the economic situation that God has put this nation in. We have not yet begun to deal with the circumstances that God, to me, has brought upon this nation, because that's the only thing we have ever really realized and understood. We said consumerism was how we made it, right? We our economy. And God said, I'm going to take the very thing that you have idolized, the very thing you love, and I'm going to use it to bring a plague upon you. Woo! A plague that nobody could have foreseen. And we don't know how to get out of it. There's been nothing like this. NBA shut down. Hockey shut down. Every sport, every entertainment, everything we have used, especially on Sunday, has been shut down. Woo! Look at it. All them folks that used to go to Western games, and they ain't got no place to go. What's the excuse now? Why ain't they in the house of the Lord? You would think they would. Well, if I ain't got the sports, maybe I'll go to the house of the Lord. No, they ain't even thought about that. All they know is that's no longer available to them. Woo, Lord. Churches shut down. God even shut the churches down. Because this circumstance, God, I think, wants to speak to our hearts to let us know that we better get right as a nation, or this is just a taste of what he's going to do. Do y'all see, for so long we've had this feeling, this understanding that the America is almighty, America's on top, we're number one. Trump done told us number one, he knows how to do it and rock and roll it. But God says, I'm going to show you, Trump. You've elevated yourself to be even Jesus Christ. Oh, baby, that was the wrong thing for you to say. God is using this circumstance to turn America to right if we will change. But you know, the sad thing is, many of us ain't getting it. And the sad thing about it, many of us may not be telling them why it's really going on, because we may be afraid they're going to get mad at us. But we need to start. Wake up, people! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Because God is speaking. If we don't listen, even worse will happen. You know, one of the sad things about it is, back in the circumstances in the Old Testament, God had a prophet, Elijah, who could just speak plainly to the king and plainly to about why the circumstance was. And God said, you know what? He says, I'm going to have a prophet tell you that. Just let y'all know that I'm really controlling this thing. I really cause this thing. I'm the one that's in control as you don't have me. I'm going to show you that I can turn it on, turn it back on just like that. So what God do? Tell Elijah, tell the king and all the people that tomorrow at this time, until there be a famine, there will be an abundance such that there will be food. I say, grain of wheat, it's going to be one shehah and I forget what the other barley, but they will be cheap. You can buy them. There would have been awful abundance. There would be an abundance from one day. In one day. Can you imagine that? And one guy, God takes a famine and turns into abundance. That's the God we serve. What would that be like here? Can you imagine? We're suddenly going from what is this situation to what is an overabundance in one day? How many of y'all think God could do that if he wanted to? Do y'all believe God could do that today if he wanted to? Oh, could he? Could he? I think he could if he wanted to. Just like he stopped it just like this, he can turn it on just like that if we believe. But we don't have any prophets able to prophesy like today. See, it takes a prophet that has God's spirit to have the word to speak that it could come true. See, that's what we're trying to see here. That this one prophet had enough a relationship with God and he spoke those words. And the next day it came true. But you know what? Just like today, there was a at least one person who didn't believe who spoke it out loud. See, there's probably a lot of other people around that didn't believe. But this one man was brave enough to say, you know what? That can't happen. You're lying. That cannot happen. He need to be killed because he's lying. There is no way that suddenly we in this famine and suddenly Elijah should tell us that the next tomorrow morning, it's going to be all this food. Where are we going to get it from? Where is all this food going to come from? There's no way. Where is this food going to come from? Where is the food going to come from? Well, he like me. I mean, I'm like him. I might have been that boy and say, ain't no way. I don't know. I think having faith to believe in God is a very serious business. So this one man of God speaks it. And this one man said, I don't believe it. The king sort of said, I don't know. I didn't speak in it. But there was most of the folks was hesitant to believe because it couldn't. So Elijah said, well, no, because you spoke it in with your mouth. You know what? You're gonna see it, but you ain't gonna get to eat of it. Woo! Lord have mercy. This is how God works. He's letting you see that what unbelief can do with him. Unbelief in God and what God can do can cost you a lot. It can cost you your life. And this man loses his life behind this. And now, you know, and not only God speaks to the prophets, but he speaks to ministers today. You know, that's what the important thing is. We as ministers, people who've been called by God, who've been called out by God, have referred to this. Whether you're, I don't know how many prophets we have today, because we got a lot of prophets prophesying lies, you know. Every time I look around, this is the end times. You hear all, how many of y'all heard prophets keep prophesying we're living in the end times? I tell everybody that lie, because even Jesus said he didn't know when the end times going to be. Even Jesus said, don't ask me, because the Father, only Father knows. If Jesus couldn't say it, why could any prophet today or anybody today say something like that? So to me, all Americans say they lie. And next thing I do when somebody say they prophesy something, I go check it with the word. I go check that with the word, see what's not there. And see, another thing, another minister is the preacher. Now, as a preacher, you feel you've been called specially out to do what I'm doing, which is proclaim the word of God to God's people and to others, you know. And so that's a very heavy responsibility. And see, as Elijah shows you, we got a heavy responsibility to tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. We got a heavy responsibility to help you get understanding what God is doing, how God is doing, and what he's doing, and what he wants us to do. That's our job. It's not to go and build up all these big old churches and stuff. It's our job is just to tell the word and let God use us where he will. Another important person is those who have different gifts of ministry. To go out and do ministry of hospitality, to go out and do a ministry of healing, do all kinds of ministry. Those are all a part of the body that God is using as ministers. And you know what? And what God does, I've got this collective body today that I need to speak to the world. All of us, God is saying, are part of this body, the church, to speak to the world. And what we say and what we do, how we behave. And see, the reason you got to be able to know that, because this coronavirus is a good opportunity for us to minister to the world. Because the world is suddenly waking up and realize something unusual is happening. Something that is shutting down airplanes, airports, closing people in, they can't go out. Ain't nothing like this ever happened before. Have y'all ever heard of anything like that happened before in these modern times with quarantines like this? All I can remember is back in the day before we had modern medicine, they had plagues. I remember they used to say, well, this ship coming across whatever has a plague on the bubonic plague, they shut quarantine ships and wouldn't let them people out. I mean, they was always doing all kinds of things. But now, in 2020, we have a plague that closed down everything. Airports, trains, planes, people don't want to get on the buses, transportation. Just think of all the things that God's hand has touched with this plague. See, that's why I look at this is God's hand that is touching things in a way that he knew the way it could be done. Touching each and everything that we have become so accustomed, so comfortable with. God has used this flag to say, not now, knock, knock. I'm in charge. You got to change. Well, you know, when God uses his spirit and God speaks to each and every one of us through his spirit, that's what this message is hoping to get through. That my spirit in me about what God is trying to say is going to reach your spirit. the circumstances, the famine, and the prophets, ministers, all these people God speaks through. And we need to hear and understand and believe and obey. Of course, this coronavirus situation to me is a very evident of God's ability to do things beyond man's control. God can do that. We somehow have forgotten that we live in an era with modern medicine and all these things that we think we got things under, pretty much under control to. Oh, whenever you get sick, go to the doctor, you find out where you give you a shot. You know, we got food, we think we got everything in control. And to me, God says, I'm going to take that pride you got, that thing you think you're in control of, and I'm going to take it away from you. So coronavirus, to me, is God's way of speaking to us. So the question is, will you listen? Will you hear what he's saying? Will we understand that God is using this to say, stop this unrighteousness, love of the Almighty Dollar, stop love himself, stop the hedonism, stop all the stuff that I said you should not do and get right? Otherwise, you will experience even worse than this. Woo, Lord have mercy. I'm finished. Thank you. God bless you. I know it was probably briefer than most of my messages, but I just thought that God speaks.